Here we go. Okay. Fine. We are on, I mean, the daf is actually Lamed Gimel, right? Last daf of the Masechta. We are in the middle, right at the end of the Mishnah, at the bottom of Lamed Gimel on Aleph, right? We are talking about the procedure of putting the Ketores on the coals to burn it, right? So what they would do, if you remember, there's the Bezek, which is like a bowl, which has a lid, and it's held up by chains, right? They would lift that off the calf, which is what they use to carry the Ketores into the Heichal, right? And then they would... he would give the this bowl, this bezech, to somebody who he chose, a friend, a family member, whatever, right? Another kohen. That kohen would then pour the ketores into his cupped hands, right? And that's where we're up to. Okay? It says, Hiskel meradedan veyoyte. He would place the ketores onto the coals so it burned. Immediately he would leave. Right? But he wouldn't do it until the Memunah, the Kohen, is in charge of the procedures in the Beis HaMikdash, right, would say, Hakter, go ahead. And if it was the Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol had decided, remember the Kohen Gadol is allowed to choose to do any Avodah he wants. And the Kohen Gadol is Kohen La'Avodah any time of year, under all circumstances, he can choose to, assuming he's Torah, he can choose to do the Avodah when any time he wants. Right? So if it was the Kohen Gadol, then he would say to then the Memunah would say to him, "Oh, Memunah, I'm alive. Ishi Kohen Gadol out there." Then he would say, "My master, the Kohen Gadol, right now, you have to be respectful to the Kohen Gadol." Right? Harshu Ha'am, right? All of the Am. What does the Am mean here? It's in the Heichal. Very good. The Kohanim in the Heichal, right? The Kohanim were watching, would go away, vehiktir, and he would then burn the Torah, right? Vehishtachavah, we would bow down again, right? Vehyotza.
What's
Parshu, sorry? Parshu,
they went away.
Yeah. Hadranalach, heichelu oilim. Next Mishnah. Bizman Jekon Gadol Nechnas Leishtachavah, Shloisha Eichazin Boi. Okay, when the Kohen Gadol enters the Beis HaMikdash to be Mishtachaveh, to bow down, there are three people who will be holding on to him. Echad, Bimino, one will hold on to his right hand. Right? And one, Echad Bismillah, and one will hold on to his left. Ve'echad ba'avanim tovos, and one will hold on to the avanim tovos, to the precious stones. Right? They'll be holding on to them. What's the Avanim Tovos? Where are the Avanim Tovos? Very good. Okay, so the Choshen of course does, but somebody's holding on to the Choshen, it's going to be very hard for him to walk. Right? It must be talking about the Avnei HaShoam on the Kisvei Tzayifot, on the shoulders of his apron. Right? Remember, if we're just sort of Chazara on the Levushim of the Kohen Gadol, I believe we've discussed it before, but in case you haven't, right? The Kohen Gadol's outer garment, right? The Kohen Gadol wears garments like the Kohen Hedyo, right? He wears Michnasayim, just like any Kohen. He wears a Me'il, just like any Kohen, right? And he wears an Avnet, which is like an apron, right? Just like any Kohen. What is the difference, right? The stuff that's on top. He wears an Ephod, right? Which is... He wears a Cheshev. He wears an Ephod and a Cheshev. Ephod has a belt around him, right? And then that Cheshev was connected to basically shoulder plates. There were straps that went up the Kohen's back to shoulder plates, which had Avnei Shoham. What was special about the Avnei Shoham?
They had all the names written on them.
Yeah, they had known the names of Israel engraved upon them, right? Very good. Well done, well remembered. Right, and then there were chains. There were golden chains which connected the Kisvei Tzayifot to the Choshen. Right? And then the Choshen was connected to the Ephod, to the apron and the belt, by tchila strings tied through rings, right? That the Kohen Gadol wore, that was distinct. And there were other things about this that was distinct, but that's what we're discussing right now. So somebody would walk from behind and be holding onto basically these gems on his shoulders. Okay? And when the Kohen Gadol heard the steps of the Kohen Gadol, he was leaving the Beis HaMikdash, right? He would then lift up the paroches, meaning he's coming out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? He would lift the parochas, vehishtachava, and he would bow down, right? Sorry, no, this is not that parochas. This is a parochas that was hung across the entrance to the Olam. That doesn't make any sense, because there couldn't be people following him, there couldn't be people holding on to him if he was entering the Kodesh Kodashim. Right? He's now entering, he's exiting the Heichal, he's exiting the Olam, and there's another cloth hung there.
Why
right? Why are they holding him? It's an excellent question.
It makes sense if they're lifting him up after he bows.
Just a minute, I'll check. Somebody said.
Rosh says lift Kodosh or Kohen Gadol.
Love after. Yeah, I mean, I was about to say that Mistama is something like that, but I don't.
Pesar.
Not sure. And beyond that, like it's some sort of honor or something, I'm not certain exactly.
Is this every day that we do this?
No, that's when he chose to do it. Right? You know, as Barabbas, he would lift this cloth for him, right? Again, this initial respect, that's for sure initial respect to the Kohen Gadol. He shouldn't have to push through, he shouldn't have to lift it himself, somebody will lift it for him, but Ve'yotza, and he would leave. Nichnesu achiv ha-kohanim, v'hishtachav v'yotza, and when he did that, then all the other Kohanim would come in after he's already left, then they would do a hishtachavaya in the Heichal, and then they would leave as well.
The Kohen Gadol would just bow whenever he felt that.
When he wanted to, yeah.
So it wasn't a part of the daily service.
Not after. No. Ba'u ve'amdu al ma'ilas ha'ulam. They would then go and stand on the steps of the ulam, right? All of we're now back to talking about the kohanim after I've read Kriyat Shema in Lishkas Agazias, and they brought the korbanos up onto the mizbeach, and they were marked to the chorus, and they cleaned out the menorah, and they've lit the two candles on the menorah. We still haven't lit the other five, right? Right, they would go and stand on the steps of the ulam. Amdu rishonim ledorim achayim akhanim. Right, the rishonim. Right, excuse me, would stand to the south of their brothers the kohanim. Who are the rishonim here?
The people who did the first avodas.
Sorry?
Who did the avodas just before?
Yes, I think so. Right, hateni biyad echad. Right, and they have five kelim in their hands. A teni biyad echad. One of them is holding the teni. What's the teni? What's in a teni?
It's like a little
it's a basket. Maybe it's made from steel. Maybe it's made from zonometal metal. Right, we don't really know what it is. Different machalim have shown them in that. Right, but what was in it? No.
Ashes.
From?
Mizbeach.
Very good. From the Mizbeach Azav, right? The teni was what held the ashes from Mizbeach Azav. And then we have the kuz, which is another vessel, smaller, for the ashes from the... Very good. Right? Veha machta biyadechad. What was the machta used for?
Is that that big machine? The gecholim.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
Is that big fancy machine?
No. Yes. It was used to carry the gecholim into the heichal. Oh. Right? Veha bezech biyadechad. What was the bezach?
Oh,
very good. It's the bowl for the incense for the ktoreth. Ve'kaf ve'chisiyoy biyadechad, and the basically it was like another type of pan, right? It was like a cup of tremendous spoon, but it was enormous, right? To carry this bezek and the lid from the bezek in the hands of a fifth, right? Uvarchu esaram beracha al beracha achas, and they would bless the nation one bracha. What does it mean, one bracha? Which bracha? Why one?
Because it's one bracha.
It's not, it's three.
Didn't they only answer Amen at the end?
Did they answer Amen?
Or Baruch Shem Kodosh after the
end? When did they say Baruch Shem Kodosh after the end?
Just
at
the end?
No. After Shem Hashem.
Right.
After Shem Hashem. Lefi she'ein oinem b'mikdash, right? The Maran Saita says. Right, that you don't answer Amen in the Mikdash at all. Instead you say Baruch Shem Kodosh after the end after Haskaras Shem Shamayim. Right, we have a drasha in the Gemara there. Right, that says that you can say Amen only in the Gemara, not in the Mikdash. So it says, right, El Shemedina Imrin Oisa Shalei Brachos over Mikdash Bracha Achas. But in the Medina, meaning outside the Mikdash, you would say it as three brachos. In the Mishdash, it said like it was one bracha. Yeah, why the difference?
The Mikdash is more holy.
This what?
Stop it with the Amen. I guess no.
Very good, yeah. The Amen would break it up. If you're not saying the Amen, it sounds like one bracha.
The Baruch Shem Kavod doesn't break it up.
No, because they would say it after Shem Hashem. It's in the middle of the pasuk. That's clearly in the middle. It doesn't make any sense that that's a break. Okay. The mikdash hayu emrim es Hashem kich tzavo. In the mikdash, they would say Shem Hashem as it is written. Now, note. Let's talk halacha l'maisa because it's important here, right? When we say, you have heard people say it as yud kei vav kei, right? Some people even more machmir, they'll say yud and then kei and then vav and then kei, right? Nobody will actually spell it. The reason why is because the Gemara's expression in Sanhedrin when it says that it's an isidoraisa to do so, right? Zeh shmi l'olam zeh zichri l'dor dor, right? Who does Akash Baruch Hu say that to?
Moshe.
With regard to?
Yud Gimel Midos.
I don't think
so. No, I don't think so. It's a big guess.
What? No, Asher, no?
You're right.
Yeah. That's not. So, the Gemara darshan's from that. Zesh Milolam, this is my name, that's the shame before us, right? And this is the way that I'll be mentioned for all generations, meaning that he's mentioned differently to his actual name. That's shame oddness, right? Which we are allowed to say. Now, nobody is allowed to. Not only are you not allowed to say the shame before us, you're not even allowed to spell it because the expression in the Gemara is Hoye es Hashem be'osiyosav, right? Now, we know in the Gemara and Brochos from the second parak and the Gemara Megillah in the third parak that Hoye means actually articulating the letters. But it says that when you're checking the spelling of the Sefer Torah, you're a hoge. It means you're actually articulating the letters, right? To make sure it's written correctly, as opposed to just reading. So the same thing, you are not allowed to just spell out the letters of the Shem and Porosh. So that's why we put the K in there instead of the A.
Do people
because that avoids spelling it, sorry?
How do people don't know, like, K? What do they say? Is K not a reference to the letter?
No, it's not a letter. It's not the name of the letter.
Oh.
People break it up.
That's not that. It's not the right letter.
Does everyone use the word K or the other ways of like Yud? I don't know.
I'm only familiar with that, but might be there's different ways of doing it, yeah?
People saying Yud and K.
So some people say Yud and then K and then Vav and then K.
But without not saying K, saying K.
I would not. I don't think so. Right, be careful, it's an Isidoraisa. So the other thing to be careful when mentioning Shem Hashem, right? So some people are machbir not to say the name of certain witnesses, right? And the reason why is because the J is a word, right? It's the same letter in English, right? The Y in Latin does not sound a Y, it sounds an E, right? Right? The Y sound was a J, so that's the reason why people are avoid saying that word. Imki, or you can, because it's not articulated correctly, at least in English.
Which word, sorry?
What?
Which word?
Certain Christian witnesses who like converting Jews.
Welcome, Brian.
What?
Welcome, Brian.
What? Somebody can write it out for him later. And in addition, the other thing which you should definitively avoid saying is when people say YAHWEH. Right? That one might actually be the correct pronunciation.
But the witnesses one is not.
For sure not, because the J is the wrong sound.
Yeah.
Right? That one, for sure don't say, because it might be the way it was pronounced originally. Right? It might, there is a theory going around and around the academics that the reason why our Nikud is a patach, followed by a cholam, followed by a kamas, that's the Nikud that's written in Siddurim and Chumashim, right? The reason why that nikud came about is because that's the nikud of Adonai. Right? And so they basically took the nikud from that and shifted into the nikud of and shifted into Shem Hashem because that's what the word substituting for.
That's the nikud you pronounce it
when you're talking about. They might have said YAHWEH might have actually been the way they pronounced it because a vav is for sure a w sound originally. Right? And they might have really pronounced it that way.
When did vav translate into vav?
What?
When did a vav become a vav?
I don't know, but I don't know what happened historically, but if you listen to either Taimanim or Syrians, they actually still say a vav. Okay, tough. That was just the important halach l'maisa. There isn't so much halach l'maisa in this pesachta, but that is very important to mention. Okay. So, in the mikdash, they could say Shem Hashem, they could say the actual word, right? In the Medina, right? Nope, we only say Shem Adnos, right? B'medina, outside the Mikdash, HaKohanim Noisein Es Yedeim Keneged Kisfein. We say people who still in Soto will remember this Mishnah, right? in the Medina outside of Mikdash, people, the Kohanim, hold their hands where? Shoulder height. Right? Uva Mikdash, in the Mikdash, Al Gabe Roshehen, they lift their hands above their head. Right? Chutz mi Kohen Gadol, except for the Kohen Gadol, why? She'ein magbia es yodov lemaila min hatzitz. Right? He shouldn't lift his hands above the tzitz. Why? The tzitz is his headband. Is his headband, which says Kodesh Hashem. Sorry?
Because it says Kodesh Hashem.
So?
So he doesn't want to like be above Hashem.
Okay, so very good. There is a machlokes Rishonim. I think that Shitas Rashi and Akmara is not what you said. Although some Rishonim definitely do say what you said. That it's disrespectful to lift his hands above, the Shem Hashem. Right? I think that Shitas Rashi there is because Hashem, the Rabbi Yehuda Darshan's Zabrom Bracha, Darshan's Apostle that says, right? Vesamu eshemi besoich bnei Yisrael ani avarachem. Right? That's what the pasuk says immediately afterwards. Right? Vesamu eshemi, they will place my name among the Jews and I will bless them. So, if you lift your hands above, if the Kohen Gadol lifts his hands above his head, then he's breaking the line between his name and the Jews. The idea is they'll look over the Kohen Gadol's hands and they'll see the Shem Hashem. Right, they're literally placing his name, God's name, among the Jews. Okay. Anyway, very nice.
But they couldn't see it anyway.
Anybody was close enough. I don't know. They can. They probably do know what's on the. What's written there. Right, Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda has different seats. Ashita, Af Kohen Gadol Magbiya Yadav L'Mayalizis. He doesn't hold it at Russia. He holds that that even the Kohen Gadol will lift his hands. Right? Okay. Shneimar, why? Because the pasuk says, Vayisa Aroines Yadav El Ha'am Vayirachem. It says that he raised his hands. Raise his hands means raise your hands. Right? Okay. And that pasuk appears in relation to doing the Berachos Kohanim after the Avodah, after he descends from the Mizbeach. Okay? Bizman she Kohen Gadol writes lehakte. When the Kohen Gadol wants to bring the Kurus, haya ole bekevesh veaskan bimino. Right, he would climb the ramp, right? And the Sgan haKohanim. Who's the Sgan?
The vice.
Sorry.
The helper.
Okay, so what was his job?
Didn't he oversee the Amarakalim?
So he might have, yeah.
Was he the guy who came out?
Maybe there are more.
He woke everyone up in the morning and got them to do the lottery.
No, that was the Mimuna. Very good. But what he's really doing, what his job really is that he's meant to replace the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur if something goes wrong and the Kohen Gadol can't do the Avodah. That's, yes, basically. In other words, he doesn't have a job until it's necessary and then he has a job. I mean, in the meantime, they gave him other responsibilities and things like that, but his job was really to replace the Kohen Gadol. Sorry?
Did they ever use him?
Yeah.
They
didn't,
yeah. Yeah. The Gwaran Yuma describes cases where they did. Where the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would be walking in the shuk and some goy would he would touch the spit of some goy, and spit of a goy is Tomei Midarabanan, and therefore he couldn't do it, and therefore he couldn't do the Avodah, and therefore the scum would have to take his place. What the Kohen Gadol was doing in the shuk on Yom Kippur, I have no idea. It's a fascinating gemara that I really don't know what to do with.
Cigarette break.
Sorry?
Cigarette break.
I have no idea. Right? Right, when he wants to, he would go and the scum would be standing on his right hand side. He gear the machzitz kevish. When he got halfway up, which ramp to which mizbeach?
No, there's no ramp.
Very good. The mizbeach is obviously too small for him. Right, he gear the kevish when he the machzitz kevish. When he got halfway up, achas askan bimi nevelo veishit lo yarishain haroish vearegel vesamach alein uzerakon. Right, the scum would hold his right hand and would raise it. He would raise the hand, right? And then he would bring him the first of the Kohanim who was carrying the limbs of the Korban Tamid, would now give the Kohen Gadol the head and the leg that he was carrying. What was that, the right leg or the left leg?
Was first
right. Yeah, always rise first. It's easy to remember, right? Right leg, right leg. Vesamach alein uzerakon, and he would do a smicha on them, which usually there's no smicha on korbanos tzibur, especially on korban tamid. Here, the Kohen Gadol is doing a smicha. Right now, a smicha, according to most people, is a way of making it yours. Do you know what I mean? So this is the Kohen Gadol is almost like laying claim to this korban. And normally, remember, a kohen is not allowed to take the avodah of another kohen. The only exception is the Kohen Gadol. So when he's the Smicha, he's almost like taking responsibility for this avoda away from that Kohen, when normally it's an Isidoraita to do that. Okay? So he would lean on it, and then he would throw them onto the flame. Then the second one who was carrying the two front legs, the two front hands, sorry, would give them to the first one who was carrying the head and the leg. And he would then give it to the Kohen Gadol, and he would again lean on them, and he would throw them onto the flame. Nishmat Hasheni Ve'Alcha, the second one would go. The first one stayed because he's the one who's passing everything to the Kohen Gadol. Right, it's covered for the Kohen Gadol that people don't give things to him directly; they pass it through someone else. Right? Ve'Chachayim Hashidim LeKol Sharei Ivanim, and that's how they would give him all the rest of the limbs one by one. They would give it to him through the first one who was carrying the head and the right leg, and he would then throw it onto the flame himself. Right? Ve'Huso Mefalei Ozarkan, and he would lean on them and throw them onto the flame. It was Manshul writes there. Right, and if he wants, Husomech, he would lead it, and then somebody else would throw it. He could do what he wanted. Right, he's the Baal HaBayis here, he can do what he wants. Baloi Lahakifas HaMizbeach, he would then have to walk around the Mizbeach to get to the second Maracha, right? Why? Because where is the first Mizbeach? The first Maracha, the first bonfire. Very good, and we always turn right. Right, so he's going to turn right, almost always turn right to walk around the Mizbeach. So he's going to have to pass the first Maracha. Where is the second?
Northwest,
right? Right, so he'll walk to the northwestern corner. He's going to have to walk around all three quarters of the way around the Mizbeach to get to Maracha Shnia, Maracha Sechteres, where he's going to take the flame from. So he says, he would walk around it, how would he go? And Dromis Mizrachis would turn southeast, right? Mizrachis Tzvonis, Tzvonis Maravis, Maravis Dromis. He would go to the northeastern corner, then the northwestern corner, then the southwestern corner. He's walking around it counterclockwise. We almost always walk around it counterclockwise. The one exception is if you've got something that certain korbanos have to be done dafka on the southwestern corner. If that happens, then usually we say turn left and just go to that corner and then turn back. Right? Don't walk around the entire Mizbeach to get to the southwestern corner.
Doesn't all have to be Derech Yamin?
That's the one. Like I said, the exception is if you have a korban that has to be brought. Like, also, if certain korbanos have to be brought on the southwestern corner. In such a case, they would not be Mekif Derech Yamin. It's the only exception to the rule.
So Derech Yamin is anti-clockwise.
Yeah. Think about it this way. That's going there. The wash goes this way. They would then give him the wine libations. The wine has to be poured into his back. By the way, does anybody remember from Sukkah where would they pour it?
Southeast.
There it is. So they would give it. They would be on the south. I think the southwestern corner, if I remember correctly. But more importantly, what into?
Two troughs.
One of them was for the yayin, one of them was for the water, but sometimes they had a mistake and put the wine in the wrong one. And it wasn't such a big deal. I had a little tube to carry the wine out.
And the wine one was thinner, thicker.
Thicker, right? It was a thicker tube because wine is a thicker liquid than water. Right? Pasgan I made al keren v'asudarim biyadei. The skan would be standing at the corner, waiting for him. He would go ahead and wait for the Kohen Gadol there, and he would have sudarim. He would have cloths. Right? He would have cloths. Right? Echad minan lechas mal. Right? Right? One in his right hand, one in his left hand. So ashachal anesech v'heinif askan ba sudarim. So he would. What does that word mean again? He means it just poured it. But he poured the wine, right? And then the skan would lift these two cloths. They were like flags, right? Ben Aras would bang this tzatzal. By the way, nobody really knows what this was. The academics think it was probably like a gigantic metal disc. If you have a very large metal disc and you smack it very hard, it vibrates and it makes an extremely loud noise. Have you seen it in like movies in Buddhist temples?
Gong.
Lehavdil Alfei Avdolos.
Like a gong?
Yeah, basically. Pachot Hayoter. Right? Okay. So he would give it a smack, right? V'dibro Levi Mashir, and they would start to sing. Right? That's the Shir Levim is attached specifically to the Nesachim usually. Right? But Higiu Lap Higiu La Perek, they would finish. Taku, they would then blow, what would they blow?
Hatzotzeres.
I mean, that's what Taku means, but Hatzotzeres, right? In the Mikdash, the Ikar was a Chatzotzeres, there would also be a shofar, but the Chatzotzeres were louder and there were more of them. Right? The Yishtachavuam, and everybody would bow down. Al-Kol Perek Tkiyah, Val-Kol Tkiyah Yishtachavaya. Every single time they finish a Perek of Tehillim, they finish the song, they would blow the Chatzotzeres, and every single time they would blow, everybody would bow down. Right? Zehu Seder HaTamid La'avodah Beis Eloheinu Yiratzon She'ibodne B'mheirah B'yameinu Amen. Right? Shkoyach, gentlemen.
One more
Mishnah, right?
Where we say this? Let me say this.
When do we say it?
Pitur Maktaros or something?
On Shabbos.
Very good. In Pitur Maktaros on Shabbos.
Or here we always say it.
No, it's not part of the Pitur Maktaros during the week.
No, it's stuck on Shabbos.
Even here, that they say it everything that most people, not everybody, most people say it during every day. They don't say this every day.
Mm. This is on Shabbos. But
interestingly, the Ramah says that the minhag was really to say this, not to say Shoshiyom. They would say this Mishnah every single day.
Or maybe not
Mishnah every single day. Whatever it is, right?
How do I say it was put in the Siddur because this was just the instructions, not the. Yeah. Not actually a thing to say.
That's also possible. But here, in the time of the Ramadan, the minhag already exists to read it, but they would read it every day instead of reading Shir Yom. Right? Later on, the minhag became to read Shir Yom. Hashir Shayu Levi Yishayu Levi Yom Rebbe Mikdash. The Levim would say these songs of Mikdash. But Yom Rishon, on the first day, would say, Hashem Aratz Moliyah, Tevel V'yosh V'ibah. Right? For Hashem, to Hashem is the land in its entirety, Tevel, the ground, right? But Yosh V'ibah and all who are in it. The Shani Yerim on the second day, they would say, Gadol Hashem Ulamai, Mirilelinu HaKadoshoy. Hashem is very great and very, very praised, right? Mirilelinu is praised. But Mirilelinu in the city of God is his holy mountain. Right? Mishlishi Yerim on the third day, they would say, Elohim Nitzav Ba'adaseil Bekerav Eli Mishpoy. Right? God stands in the community of, well, God, right? Let's go with the divine community or something, right? Bekerav Elohim Yishpoit, among Elohim here, probably Lashon Chol, right? Dayanim, he will judge. Tuesday we're already getting to, it's a more serious thing, right? It's not just praising God, but it's saying judgment, right? Right, it's also using Shem Elokus and not Shem Adnus, which is, we know, is Midas Hadin, right? Berevi Hayomrim, Wednesday they would say, El Nekomais Hashem Elokus Fia. It's talk about Hashem as the God of vengeance. It's already, like I said, a little bit more serious. On the Thursday, they would say, Harninu le'limizeinu hariu le'liyakev. Sing to Hashem, to Elohim, right? Again, Midas Adin, but now we're singing to him. He's not the God of vengeance, right? Uzeinu, our strength, right? Hariu, cry out to the God of Yaakov. B'shishi ha'mruim. And on Friday, they would say...
That Elohim is judges, or that's God?
I think that's Kodesh, yeah. But you're not singing to the Dayanim.
That's true. So why do sometimes they put Shem Hashem, sometimes they put... Is Elohim not considered Shem Hashem?
Oh, the Gemara seems very willing to write it. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't not write Shem Elokos. It was only Shem Adnus that they would avoid writing.
It's like Godol Hashem Allah with a hey...
That's because it's the Shem Adnus, so it's actually... The Shem of Mephorosh is written there, but...
You're saying, certain Shem Hashem...
It's only Shem Mephorosh, Shem Adnus, they replace with Hashem. Everything else they seem to just write in the Gemara. The minute to put a kuf there developed later.
Right?
I mean, having these words there creates an issue that this book is chayav in Gliza.
Yeah.
Right? Those things cannot be thrown out, so they must be buried. I mean, if you're not using it anymore for some reason, if it's no longer usable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shishi Yom Rim, Friday would say, Hashem Ma'ach, Gulus, Lavesh, 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 Hashem, Oizis, Azhar, right? Hashem is king, Hashem the king, war, Geus. What does it mean?
Pride.
From Gava. It probably doesn't mean pride, it probably is like Gain, strength. Hashem the king, war strength, lavesh Hashem, oiz his azar. Right? He belted himself with strength with oiz. So geus is probably a cinnamon to oiz. Right? We don't know for sure, but that's what that's mitama. Right, Bashar say, remember Shabbos, they would say Mizrach Shil Yom Shabbos, Mizrach Shir, Mizrach, they, on Shabbos they would say that they would sing the song, which is actually for Shabbos. Makes sense, right? Note, the first six don't have anything particularly to say about that day. I mean, you can see a sort of a theme developing that we start off by singing to God, and then we start talking about God's judgment, and then we, you know, start talking about God as all-powerful until he, you know, wears strength, literally. Right, the God is an embodiment of strength, right? On Friday, Likras Shabbos Malkasa, right, we say Mizmor Shirla on Shabbos, Mizmor Shirla Asit Lavoi, this is a song for the future, right?
Which is...
What?
Which is the Shabbos.
Mizmor Shirla on Shabbos, right? Le'yoyim Shekul Le'Shabbos Umnuchel Che'olon in, for a day which is entirely Shabbos and entirely rest forever. Hadran Alach Bezman Shekohen Gadol V'Slik Alam Asetes Tomid.
Oh, yeah.
Shkoyach, Eli, shkoyach.